presents Brothers in Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, based on the novel by Henry Cecil, and starring Richard Briers with Julia Lockwood, Bridget Armstrong, Sam Kidd, Felix Felton, and Alec Braganza. Episode 3, Menaces.
I swear by Almighty God that the evidence I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Detective Inspector Hugh Cranmer, CID.
I say, how long do you think you'll get?
Well, it's difficult to say with this judge. He's inclined to take a line, and you never know what it'll be.
Well, on this occasion, Mr. Brace, it's to ask counsel not to speak so loud if they don't want me to hear.
Thank God, my lord.
Yes, Inspector Cranmer, what can you say about the prisoner?
The prisoner is what you might call a burglar by trade, my lord. He has 8 previous convictions for burglary and housebreaking, and 3 for larceny from a dwelling house. This is the first time he has been charged with blackmail. He is aged 40, married with 2 children, and describes himself as an engineer. But I've never yet been able to find out what he engineers.
Well, Mr. Thursday?
Yes, thank you, my lord.
Mr. Thursday. Your client has been found guilty. As you don't appear to want to cross-examine the inspector, do you wish to say anything in mitigation?
Oh, yes, I do. Thank you, my lord. There are several things I'd like to say, my lord. Thank you very much, my lord.
You would be doing better for your client if you stopped thanking him and said what you have to say.
Thank you for pointing that out, my lord. Thank you very much. Yes, my lord?
Heaven knows I am a patient man.
Oh, yes, I know that too, my lord. Thank heaven.
Mr. Thursby, you've spent the last 2 minutes thanking me. Are you proposing to spend the next 2 minutes thanking heaven?
No, thank you, my lord.
Quite right for once, you're not. I may be a patient man, but I'm not a saint.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time, my lord. thank you, but my lord, I was about to speak in mitigation.
That was a long time ago, Mr. Thursby. We're all a good deal older and wiser since then.
But with your lordship's permission, I'll address you now.
So be it, Mr. Thursby.
My lord, my client is what you might call a burglar by trade.
So I have been told by the inspector.
Oh, but you haven't heard the next bit.
All right, Mr. Thursby, what is the next bit?
Now, my client may be a burglar, my lord, but you will see from the list of previous convictions he is not very good at it. In fact, he hardly covers his expenses, even in a good year.
A good year for him, Mr. Thursby, is a bad year for the public.
Thank you, my lord. That is exactly my point. As he nearly always has a bad year, you might call him a public benefactor.
You might, Mr. Thursby. You might. I wouldn't. But go on, if you've anything else to say.
Thank you, my lord. Now, burglary is a very dangerous place, as your lordship will know from his own experience.
I have no experience of the burglar.
Have you? Oh, no, of course not. No. I meant your lordship's experience in the criminal court. Now, where was I?
You were telling me that burglary is difficult and dangerous. So I can't imagine why you were telling me.
Ah, you'll see that in a minute, my lord. I hope.
I hope so too, Mr. Thursday.
Thank you, my lord.
No, please don't start that again.
Now, it's a difficult and dangerous trade, and unless you're in the first league, it's not easy to make an honest living out of it.
It's not possible to make an honest living out of it, Mr. Thursday.
Oh, I don't know. You know, I heard of a chap in Hackney the other day who's been... Sorry, my lord. I should have said, my client finds it difficult to make a living out of it. So come to think of it, I don't suppose you'd approve if he did.
I should certainly approve if he's making an honest living.
But if only he could, my lord. Then it is, he can't keep his head above water. In fact, if you trot up his earnings over the year, my lord, you'll finally come to less than he is entitled to get from the national system.
I expect he gets that as well.
No, that he does, my lord. I've forgotten that.
So while the country is paying Mr. Nashville to enable him and his family to live, he supplements that income by going out and breaking into other people's houses.
Yes. It sounds bad put that way, my lord.
It is bad.
It's not as bad as what he's done this time.
I quite agree. But I don't see how this is helping your client.
Then I explain, my lord.
I wish you would, Mr. Thursday.
Now, I'll tell you how it came to happen, my lord. He's been doing this steady job of burgling for a very long time. And if you're a nervous man, like he is, it takes years off you. I would say, you go into a house which you are sure is empty, suddenly you hear a noise as though somebody's there. I can tell you, my lord, it's a frightening job.
Well, how about the frightening of the people who are in the house?
That's just it, my lord. He always tries to go when they're not there. See? He doesn't want to frighten anyone. He doesn't want to be frightened himself either.
All right, Mr. Thursday, you've made your point, and it's very interesting. But what is it to do with the present offence?
I'll come into that, my lord. Now, there's my client going out once or twice a week, making a few pounds here and a few pounds there, and upsetting his nerves and digestion of something chronic.
Something what, Mr. Nevis?
Chronic, my lord. My client's own will. And I shouldn't be surprised if it hasn't affected his heart, too. But with all respect, my lord, just imagine yourself shinning up a drainpipe, and when you look in a window, you find somebody there. Down you have to go again. If they catch you, you get 18 months for nothing. And my client hates drainpipes, my lord. But sometimes it's the only way. What he really likes is a back door left open. It's amazing the number of people who do that. He once left a note saying, thank you for leaving the door open. He was truly grateful, my lord, but it was a stupid thing to do because they proved it was his handwriting. He got 2 years for that piece of politeness.
Mr. Nursedick, I think we have agreed that I am the most patient of men. If I am not yet in the canon of saints, I should be after this. But so far, you've told me nothing in mitigation of this present offence.
I'm coming to that, my lord. So that you can understand it, I had to explain what my client's ordinary life had been like. Well, my lord, a few weeks before he committed this offence, he was in a pub talking to some people, and one of them asked him if he'd like to come in with him on this job. He said no at first, because he didn't like the sound of it. But when he was told that he'd make £500 by just going to see a man and saying, I'm all for the laundry, he fell for it. My lord, he doesn't make £500 a year in his trade. And here he was, offered £500 for half an hour's work.
Half an hour's work?
Well, you can't call it work, my lord. I mean, calling on a man and asking him for the washing. But of course, it was a trap. And here he is.
So I see, Mr. Thurston.
He's heartily ashamed of himself, my lord. I'm sure you'll tell me, if I don't tell you, my lord, that blackmail is moral murder. And so it is. It must have been terrible for that man he called on. And he paid out I don't know how many times before, just to stop his wife knowing. And then, when he hadn't got any money left, he went to the police. And this was where my client was so unlucky. He was the mug who called on him that last time. So you see, my lord, he's no more good at blackmail than he is at burglary. And he promises he'll stick to that in the future.
He promises?
Slip of the time, my lord. I mean, he'll go straight in the future.
What will he live on?
National assistance, my lord.
But he doesn't find that enough.
Would you, my lord?
Don't ask questions, Mr. Thursday. Answer them. Why doesn't he get a decent job?
Well, it's not all that easy, my lord, with his record. Not without forging references, that is, and I'm sure you wouldn't advise him to do that, my lord. But he really is ashamed of himself, and he told the inspector that, too, if he's any help.
Did he, Inspector?
Yes, my lord, he did. And may I add something?
What is it?
I believe him. He is a burglar, my lord, not a blackmailer. But when he saw what easy money it was going to be, he was tempted and fell. I don't think he'll do it again.
Have you anything more to say, Mr. Thursday?
I can't think of anything, my lord.
Nor can I. Well, Nathalie, the inspector's done better for you than any counsel could have done, including your own. The trouble is that you're a menace to society. Your counsel talks about your digestion being bad because you get frightened. What about the digestions of the old ladies or old gentlemen you frighten? The young ones, too, for that matter. I don't know what to do with you. It costs the country £20 or £30 a week to keep you in prison. Perhaps it's fairer that the country as a whole should pay than the various individuals from whom you steal. The trouble is that you're so used to prison that I suppose you don't mind it any longer.
Oh, no, me lord. I don't like it at all. If your lordship will put me on probation, I'll go straight for the rest of me life.
How often have you said that before?
Not every time, me lord.
Why don't you try to learn a trade when you're in prison? That's to say, an honest trade.
It's not all that easy, me lord, to learn a new trade. It takes time.
I think I can give you that. The truth of the matter is, I suppose, that like so many other of your kind, you don't like a regular job with regular hours.
I do prefer part-time, as you might say, me lord.
In fact, you don't like what honest people call work at all. In the ordinary way, I should have imposed a sentence of 10 years for this offence. It's a very grave one. Imagine the agonies of mind that Mr. X must have suffered for over 2 years. In many cases, it's the worst offence there is. That doesn't mean to say that one has respect for people who are blackmailed. They're all cowards, or they never would be blackmailed. If only people would go straight along to the police the first time the blackmailer comes, they would save themselves not only a great deal of money, but a lot of anguish. And in many cases, they would save their families that too. But it's true to say that you only came into this particular case at the very end. And in view of what the inspector has so very kindly said about you, I shall only sentence you to 5 years imprisonment.
Only 5 years? He was lucky.
I quite agree, Sally. He was lucky to have me defending him, or he'd have got 10.
Roger, did you really get his sentence reduced by half?
Well, of course, the inspector put in a word for him. That may have helped him a bit, but I'm sure the judge was mainly influenced by my powerful plea. I wish you could have been there, Salim.
I'm rather glad I wasn't. I don't think I approve of powerful pleas on behalf of blackmailers.
He wasn't a very good blackmailer. But what I can't understand is why the victim ever let himself be blackmailed. He can't have had any guts.
What was he blackmailed for?
Oh, usual thing.
What's that?
He had an affair with another woman, didn't want his wife to know.
Oh, that's the usual thing for husbands, is it?
Absolutely. Happens all the time.
Thank you for warning me.
Not at all. What? Sally. I wasn't warning you. It'll never happen when we're married.
But you said it was the usual thing for husbands.
The usual thing for husbands to be blackmailed for. But only if they do it, and I never would.
Because you'd be afraid of being blackmailed?
Certainly not. Because I wouldn't want to do it. Sneaking off to some sordid hotel room with a girl I wasn't married to? Never.
Torture! That's exactly what you did last week when you took me to that sordid hotel.
That was entirely different.
Why? You're not married to me.
I'm not married to anyone else either. Anyway, nothing happened.
I know. Thank goodness, Roger, darling. I'm so glad I changed my mind and left before anything happened, aren't you?
That's an impossible question to answer.
Why?
Well, if I say, yes, I'm glad you left, it's not very polite, is it? If I say no, it sounds as if I'm still angry.
Well, you're not, are you?
Not now. I was at the time. Absolutely furious.
Poor darling.
So furious, I walked out of that hotel myself soon after you left.
And the room was never used at all. Oh, what a waste of money. Still, I was right, wasn't I?
I don't know, Sally. I simply don't know.
Well, I do. It was all too horrid, with Mr. Grimes being there and disapproving, and that porter leering, and that chambermaid making snide remarks. And besides, think of the danger we've avoided.
Danger?
Please, no one can blackmail us now.
They couldn't have anyway. There's nothing disgraceful about it. Engaged couples are doing it all the time.
The same. Wouldn't like to have people talking about me, and I'd hate it if your mother knew, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, but it wouldn't make any difference. I'd never let myself be blackmailed, never.
Well, let's suppose your uncle died.
Which uncle?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Uncle Stephen?
If you like. Now, suppose he died and left a large sum of money.
He hasn't got a large sum of money.
Roger, we're just supposing.
It's a hell of a supposition where Uncle Stephen's concerned.
We're not talking about your Uncle Stephen.
Oh, sorry, well, which one then?
Well, not a real one at all. This is a hypothetical case. Your rich uncle dies leaving a small fortune. It's family money, and it ought to pass to your mother.
She could certainly do with it.
Or to you, perhaps.
I could do with it, too.
But your rich uncle left it all to someone else.
Who?
Well, it doesn't matter who.
Why not to me?
Well, he didn't like you.
The swine. Yeah, come to think of it, Uncle Stephen doesn't like me much.
So you destroy the will and forge another one, leaving everything to you.
Never get away with it.
Why not?
I'm a rotten forger.
Just keep supposing, Roger.
Yeah, right. Suppose you're trying to say, suppose someone finds out and suppose he tries to blackmail me.
Exactly. The one man in the world who can prove your guilt. He comes along and asks for a share. Wouldn't it be worth your while to give it to him?
And have him squeeze me for the rest of my life?
He might not squeeze you too hard. He might leave you some of the money.
Don't you believe it?
What would you do then?
When he first approached me, I'd pretend to fall in with his suggestion. Then I'd get on to the police and trap him. And that would be that.
It's easy to say, Roger. What about when we're married and you do the usual thing?
Not even then.
You mean you'd make sure of not being found out?
Exactly. No, no. Sally, you're twisting my words. I mean, after we're married, I wouldn't do it.
Only before.
Right. No, wrong. Sally, will you stop this inquisition? I've told you already I wouldn't do it at all, ever.
Not even with Joy?
Especially not with Joy.
I hope not, because if she ever managed to get you into a compromising situation, she wouldn't hesitate to blackmail you.
Blackmail? Joy? Ridiculous.
No, Roger, I mean it.
Well, why on earth should she want to blackmail me? She knows perfectly well I haven't got any money. And her uncle is one of the richest solicitors in London.
It wouldn't be money she wanted.
What then?
You.
Yes, look, if she got me into a compromising situation, she'd already have me, wouldn't she?
I mean permanently.
Out of the question, I'm engaged to you.
But if she threatens to tell me about the compromising situation, unless you agree to go on having an affair with her.
What do you mean, go on having an affair? I haven't even started one yet.
And you'd better not, or else.
Or else what?
Or else you and I are finished.
You don't mean that.
I do.
It's an idle threat.
No.
In that case, it's blackmail.
All right, Roger, but you just make sure I'm the only blackmailer in your life.
You're the only one who'll ever get away with it. But if you want another hypothetical case, I'll give you one.
What is it?
Supposing. It's quite unthinkable, of course. But just supposing Joy ever did trick me into a situation which made it look as if there had been a spot of the usual. And supposing she tried to blackmail me, she wouldn't get away with it.
Why? What would you do?
I'm glad you asked. I'd come straight to you and explain how it happened.
How did it happen?
Well, you see, Joy found out that I was going to be at... No, she didn't! What I mean is, supposing Joy found out... No, never mind all that, forget it. The point is, I'd come and tell you, and you would listen to me and understand and forgive.
Would I?
Wouldn't you?
Well, hypothetically, yes.
I jolly well hope so, and really, too.
But it wouldn't happen really, would it?
You never know.
Roger?
What I mean is, hypothetically, suppose it really did.
It's getting too complicated. Don't you think it's time you were going?
Where to?
Chambers. Supposing there's a brief waiting for you.
You're absolutely right, Sally. Hypothetically speaking, I suppose there might really be one. Goodbye, darling. You're an angel.
Am I, darling?
If that judge is a saint, you're an angel. It's not an archangel. Thanks for getting me lunch. I'll see you this evening.
All right, Roger. And I'll just hope you don't run into Joy in the meantime.
Joy, look, don't be ridiculous. There are 10 million people in London. Why should I happen to run into Joy?
That's a good question. Roger, darling.
Hello, Joy. Joy! This is impossible. There are 10 million people in London. Why should I happen to run into you?
Can't you guess?
Yes, I can. Goodbye.
Where are you going, Roger?
Back to Chambers.
How strange. I happen to be going in that direction. Shall we share a taxi?
But you must be out of your mind.
I'll pay.
You will not.
Don't be proud, Roger. Look, there's one. Call him.
Look, please get it into your head, Joy. Nothing on earth would induce me to share a taxi with you.
Why ever not?
Because I know what it would lead to.
And you'd enjoy every minute of it, wouldn't you? Come on, darling. Just once round the park, and then I'll drop you at your Chambers.
Look, you're tempting me again. You've got to stop.
I can't, darling. The temptation to tempt you is irresistible.
Fight it, Joy. Be strong.
How can I? After what happened last week.
But nothing did happen last week.
You can't have forgotten already when Sally walked out and left you alone in that hotel.
If you're referring to the disgraceful episode when you forced your way into my bedroom...
Darling, you know that's not true. The door was unlocked. You told me to come in. You asked me to turn down the bed.
Because I was in the bathroom and I thought you were the chambermaid, as you very well know.
All I know is you and I were together in that hotel bedroom.
Well, only for a few minutes.
It may have seemed like that, Roger, but it was long enough.
Long enough for what?
You know what, Roger. And so would anyone else who happened to hear about it.
Well, how could anyone hear about... Joy! You're doing it!
I wish I was, darling. But you let the taxi go.
You're blackmailing me.
How could you say such a thing?
How could you do such a thing? Anyway, you're wasting your time. Threatening to tell Sally won't get you anywhere.
Oh, I know. You'd get in first with your story and she'd forgive you.
Good heavens, how did you know?
Whether she believed you or not, she'd have to forgive you, wouldn't she? Or else give you up. And I can't see her doing that yet.
What do you mean, yet?
Just yet. No, Roger. It wasn't Sally I had in mind.
Who then?
My Uncle Alfred. Suppose he got to hear about it.
What if he did?
You know how devoted he is to me. He might insist that you make an honest woman of me.
Impossible.
Uncle Alfred wouldn't think so.
It's no good, Joy. You tell him what you like. He can't force me to marry you.
Perhaps not. But I hate to remind you, Roger, more than half the briefs you get come from him, and he is a very influential man. It wouldn't be too good for you if he took against you, would it?
I don't care. I don't care. Yes, I do.
Oh, Roger.
Well, I'll have to lump it, won't I? Whatever it is you want, you'll never get it by threats.
Darling, thank heaven.
What for?
You've passed the test.
Test?
You've proved you're strong in character as well.
As well as what?
As well as strong in other ways, darling. You've made me so happy.
Have I?
Mm. If you turned out to be the sort of weakling who gives way to blackmail, I couldn't have borne it. I'd have had to give you up, Roger.
Do you mean that? If I hadn't stood up to you, you'd have gone away and left me alone?
Yes, darling.
In that case, I've changed my mind. I'll do it. As long as you promise not to tell your uncle.
Too late, Roger. There's another. Taxi! Taxi!
No, I am not getting into that taxi with you. I won't. I won't.
I won't insist on driving around the park this time. He can go straight to your chambers and drop you.
Oh, well, in that case... Oh, Joy. I'm not strong at all. I'm weak. Sally?
Yes, Roger?
I thought you'd like to know I'm strong.
Are you?
Well, most of the time.
What are you talking about?
I may yield to temptation, but I don't yield to blackmail.
You mean you wouldn't, supposing it happened?
If it's not supposing, it has happened. Someone just tried it on.
Who?
Never mind.
But I knew mine.
It was just a person who happened to be in possession of certain information.
What information?
About a certain incident.
Roger, what have you been up to?
Absolutely nothing.
You must have done something if this person was squeezing you.
Squeezing? No, that came later in the taxi.
Roger, what are you trying to tell me?
Nothing.
Well, then why did you ring me?
I must have been mad.
What?
What I mean is, I can't go into a lot of detail. I simply rang up because I thought you'd like to know that I'm a strong character as well.
As well as what?
I'll show you this evening. I must run off now. I'm terribly busy. Pile of briefs to read. Bye, darling. Why can't I keep my big mouth shut? Alec! Don't seem to be anything for me to do here. I think I'll push off. You can reach me at home if I want it.
Excuse me, Mr. Thursby. It is Mr. Thursby, isn't it?
Yes.
My name's Perkins, Mr. Thursby.
My name's Thursby, Mr. Perkins. I mean, I don't think we've met before.
No, Mr. Thursby. I haven't yet had that pleasure. May I accompany you for a moment?
What is it, Mr. Perkins? You're not a solicitor?
No luck this time, Mr. Thursby, I'm afraid.
Well, what do you want then?
I just wanted your advice, Mr. Thursby.
Well, I'm afraid I can only give advice through a solicitor.
Oh, it's not legal advice.
Mr. Perkins, I don't usually advise strangers about anything.
Well, of course you don't, Mr. Thursby. But there are exceptions to every rule, aren't there?
Well, why should there be one in this case?
Oh, why indeed, Mr. Thursby? Why indeed? That's a very fair question, and I'd better answer it. It's about a friend of mine, Mr. Thursby.
I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Perkins, but I really don't see why I should advise your friend.
Not even if you know him, Mr. Thursby.
Oh, I know him, do I?
Oh, you know him very well, Mr. Thursby.
Well, why hasn't he come to me himself?
He couldn't, Mr. Thursby.
Well, why not? Who is he? What's his name?
Thursby, Mr. Thursby.
Thursby? What are my relations?
Oh, I haven't the pleasure of knowing any of your relations, but perhaps I shall someday.
Well, who is this Thursby? What's his Christian name?
Roger, Mr. Thursby.
Roger? No, I don't think I know anyone of that name. Do you mean me?
Oh, you're very quick off the mark, Mr. Thursby.
But I don't know you. I'm not a friend of yours. To the best of my knowledge, I've never seen you before in my life.
Ah, but you know me now, Mr. Thursby, don't you? What do we mean by the word friend? Don't you sometimes say, a friend of mine told me something the other day, and a friend is no more than an acquaintance? Well, I'm certainly an acquaintance, Mr. Thursby, aren't I?
Well, if you insist, look, what is it you want?
To tell you a story, Mr. Thursby.
I'm a very busy man, Mr. Perkins. I haven't time to listen to stories.
Well, you've got time to listen to this one, Mr. Thursby.
It can't be. Not again.
Again, Mr. Thursby.
What is your story, Mr. Perkins?
Well, another friend of mine is a porter in a hotel.
Really?
Yes. He's a porter with an inquisitive turn of mind.
And what turn has his mind taken?
He always has a peep at the hotel registration book. Shall I tell you why, Mr. Thursby? He does this because sometimes it turns out that people registered in that book as Mr. and Mrs. Shall we say, just for the sake of example, as Mr. and Mrs. Thursby are not Mr. and Mrs. Thursby.
And what does your friend do about that?
He tells me, Mr. Thursby.
And why does he do that?
To see if I can make use of the knowledge.
And that's what you're doing now?
Oh, I'm not surprised you're doing so well at the bar, Mr. Thursby. You are so quick, you quite take my breath away.
And what particular use are you going to make of the knowledge?
Mr. Thursby, there are a number of poor girls I know who have been deceived by men and had babies and are in very poor circumstances, very poor circumstances indeed. And so, I hope to support them.
Very high-minded, Mr. Perkins.
Oh, as you say, Mr. Thursby. But unfortunately, I'm not in a substantial financial position myself, you see. If I were, I should not have to make use of bits of information which my porter friend gives me. You may perhaps want to know, Mr. Thursby, how I make my living. Poor as it is, I am a freelance journalist. I send bits to the papers, and there are one or two papers which publish my bits, you see. And they pay me quite well on the whole, and the surplus over my requirements for ordinary living. And I'm not an extravagant person, Mr. Thursby. The surplus goes to these unfortunate girls. Of course, Mr. Thursby, I don't mind whom I sell my bits to. And naturally, I'll go for the highest bidder.
Naturally. And which particular bit are you offering to sell me?
Oh, quite a choice piece, Mr. Thursby. Quite a choice little piece. This young man, your friend, Roger Thursby, Mr. Thursby, went to stay with a girl at the hotel where my porter friend works, you see. And they registered as Mr. and Mrs. Thursby. But he wasn't married to the girl. And in the end, they funked it. And she went home.
So nothing happened?
Nothing at all.
That doesn't sound very choice to me, Mr. Perkins.
Ah, but look at it this way, Mr. Thursby. It makes him look such an ass, doesn't it? But of course, no one will know why the young lady went home. It may be that she discovered that Mr. Thursby, who is the complete gentleman outside the bedroom, is less than the complete gentleman inside. Of course, no one will know if that was the case or not. That's what makes a little piece of this kind so saleable, you see. You can put whatever construction on it you like. But whatever construction you put on it, it does make Mr. Roger Thursby look a most awful ass.
This is too much. To be blackmailed for something you've done is one thing. But when it's something you haven't done...
I do wish you wouldn't use that word, Mr. Thursby.
It's the right word, isn't it? Unless I pay you, you will write to one of the newspapers you were talking about and give them this piece of information.
Oh, no, no, Mr. Thursby. You've got me quite wrong. I merely tell you that I've got a piece of information to sell. I'm quite prepared to sell it to you if the price is right. Or I may sell it to someone else. Or, Mr. Thursby, I may not sell it at all. That is what's so delicious about it.
All right, Mr. Bergen, supposing I bought it from you, what is there to prevent you from selling it to someone else as well?
Oh, that's a good point, Mr. Thursby. Your clients must be very lucky to have such an astute brain to consult. You would have my word, Mr. Thursby. My promise. My undertaking.
In writing?
In writing, if needs be.
Needs be, Mr. Perkins.
Well, Mr. Thursby, how much do you think I would be paid for this little piece by that informative little journal called The Turntable?
I don't know what their rates are.
Well, nor do I, Mr. Thursby. But I'll tell you what their rates would have to be in this case. If they want to match your offer, they would have to pay £100.
I haven't got £100.
I dare say, but you could raise it if you had to.
Perhaps. So, unless I pay you £100, you will offer this story to the Turntable?
Oh, you should have waited before saying that, Mr. Thursby.
Waited?
Yes, you should have waited for our second interview. See, that, no doubt, you've already decided, is to take place in chambers, or some room where there could be a tape recorder, or a couple of detectives, or whatever. That's what you had in mind, is it not?
Something of the kind, yes.
Yeah.
If you think you can blackmail me, you're damn well mistaken.
Oh, but I'm not, Mr. Thursby. You imagine, I suppose, that when you set your little trap and the detectives arrested me, and I'm tried for blackmail, that you can disguise your identity by being Mr. X. You think the judge would let them call you Mr. X, Mr. Thursby?
Certainly, that's always done.
On the ball again, Mr. Thursby. You'll be taking silk in no time. Of course they'd let you call yourself Mr. X, or any other letter of the alphabet that attracted you. Mr. T, for example. What use would that be to you, Mr. Thursby? Some people outside the law can get away with Mr. X, but everyone at the bar would know that it was Mr. Thursby, Mr. Roger Thursby.
Would they?
Yes, it'll be all over the legal profession in no time at all. And whenever you go into court, you'll feel that everybody's thinking of it. And when the judge looks at you and says, yes, Mr. Thursby, you'll wonder if he's heard of it. And if he happens to give you a smile, you'll wonder whether that's the reason. You see, you'll feel such a fool, Mr. Thursby. It's quite a little problem, isn't it? You'll have to appear in the witness box, and all your friends at the bar, and the solicitors, and the clerks, and the judges, will all know all about it, and they'll have the pleasure of watching you in court number one at the Old Bailey, where no doubt you've given some of your better performances. So, what is your answer to our little problem, Mr. Thursby?
I'll have to think about this, Mr. Perkins.
Ah, that's better, Mr. Thursby. Think about it. No doubt you'd like us to meet again, eh? But I'm afraid not in your chambers or anywhere like that. If you'd like to meet me again, let's say, Kensington Gardens, by the Round Pond. Half an hour before closing time. Would that suit you?
Very well. Tomorrow at 6:30, I take it you'd like £1 notes?
Dirty ones, if you please. And not consecutively numbered. 6:30, then.
All right, tomorrow, at the Round Pond.
Ah, good evening, Mr. Thursby. So pleased you were able to make it. I'm glad to see you haven't brought any of your friends with you. I like this time in the evening.
So do I, Mr. Perkins.
Yes. As far as I can see, we are quite unobserved. And at this hour of night, even long-range telescopes wouldn't be of very much use.
No use at all, Mr. Perkins.
And what, may I ask, have you brought for me, Mr. Thursby?
This, Mr. Perkins. And this for good measure, Mr. Perkins. And now, Mr. Perkins, you can charge me with assault if you like, but if you do, I will charge you with blackmail. And if you publish your little story in the Turntable, I shall make it my business to find you again, Mr. Perkins, and knock you down again, and if ever you make any complaint about me, I shall prosecute you.
This is blackmail, Mr. Thursby.
And this is the Round Pond, Mr. Perkins, and I hope you're proud of your pupil.
In that episode of Brothers in Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Briers, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Joy, Bridget Armstrong, Mr. Perkins, Sam Kidd, Judge, Felix Felton, Knapp Hill, Alec Brigonzi, Detective Inspector, Douglas Blackwell, Counsel, Nigel Anthony. Menaces was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by Trafford Whitelock.